Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Yeah.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so
damn.
Tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When ain't looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us, cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Sunday, August the 27th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, I've got a very important topic for you. We want to delve into the root of all evil. We want to get to, everybody talk about, again, a lot of the morality, but I want to deal with the causality. What is the root cause of all evil? One of the things that I've been really, really searching and asking God to assist me with is, you know, when things happen, everybody wants to know what, why. Like, if you have a bad event that takes place in your life, even right now, I'm sitting here in the middle of Hurricane Harvey, and we've been really fortunate. Most of my family is from the Houston area. And right now, my sister just sent me a picture where You know, if she gets another foot of water, that's pretty much a wrap. So right now, as I'm speaking, man, I'm sending prayers out to my family that's still in Houston because of Hurricane Harvey. And some of the questions that come to mind is, I'm hitting San Antonio and it was coming for us, and then it just kind of turned. And it hit my brother who lives out in Corpus. You know, he said it took out his fence. It really caused some damage to, you know, his property. He's a pastor there in Corpus Christi, which took a lot of it. We spent a lot of time in Port Aransas and Rockport, which is where Hurricane Harvey hit. So we asked, you know, or you asked, or some people could ask the question, why? You know, when things happen in our lives, we ask why. You know, evil. Like, why does evil exist? What is evil? What's the purpose of evil? Like, bad things happen to good people. And then, if you're like me, you are the cause of a lot of evil. Now, you may not wake up. At least I don't wake up and say, I want to go and cause evil. I don't really do that. But unfortunately, my actions cause a lot of evil. A lot of hurt people. I could bring my first wife. I could bring my kids. I could bring my current wife. I could bring a lot of people who my actions have affected adversely. I didn't wake up and set out to cause havoc. So I've struggled and still struggle. I've got a lot of peace and a lot of clarity and understanding. If you've been listening, I pray to God that you've listened to the last shows this week. If you have not listened to the shows that I've been doing this week, it is my prayer that some kind of way you find time to carve out 5 or 6 hours out of your busy schedule to transform your life. Because we first started talking about life optimization blockers, we talked about three things: the Christ conflict, the repressed memories, and the unconscious programming that prevents you from, again, optimizing your life. We talked about how I've been disrespecting my own person, my own place, and my own position, which allows me to disrespect you and other people. Then we talked about understanding life optimization helpers. These are the things that help us to optimize our life. We talked about diligence. We talked about conviction. We talked about determination. We talked about how without the ability to, again, exercise Christ determination through claironomics, this is how you can consciously control your thoughts and your actions. This is how you can find your purpose and attach yourself, find your goal in life, and then detach from the goal and attach to the role of a Christ determination, or what I call Christ control mechanism. This is how you obtain maximum life optimization. And the way that you do Christ determination is through intonation. It's putting the frequency or the wave of Christ inside of your blood, inside of your breath, inside of your voice. Your voice is your frequency. Your frequency is your tone. So you got the word intonation means into nation. You got to go into the nations. Intonation means, again, at one meant or atonement. And the way that that is done, as we talked about in the three-part series that we just did on how to put tone in your voice, because we said a phrase that I would like for you to remember: the tone of your voice determines the speed of your choice. And we talked about that for 3 hours, how you have to put tone in your voice so that way you determine how fast you get to your choice. Because your choice will not arrive if your tone is not inscribed. And we talked about how to inscribe the tone, the frequency, the wave, or the vibration of God into your voice so that way your voice is one, meaning that it's concrete, that it is chronological, and that it is individual. And we talked about those three keys that allows you to be specific, very specific and to be very chronological, very step by step, and also to be very individual, so that way you can become holistical, meaning that you can't become a part of a team until you become solid with inside of yourself. So you cannot connect with anyone else until you first connect with yourself. And so I need to talk about the root of all of this. What preventing you? Now, people told me that the love of money is the root of all evil. I believed it. And I said that, you know what? I'm bumped this money thing. I'm getting off this money train. I'm not interested in money. So I did. Nothing changed. So I said, hold up, time out. The love of money is the root of all evil. So I've detached from money. Why is evil still prevalent in my life? Now, I don't know about you. I like money, but I am not consumed with money. I like having nice things, but if I was consumed with money, what I would be doing right now with what I know, everybody would be under my mind control. I would have been started a church, a cult, and I would have had a bunch of followers tithing, giving me 10% of their income, and I would be living damn good right now. I would be like every Reverend Dr. Bishop that I know if I was after money. If I want money, there is a plethora of ways by which to get it that's a lot easier than what I am doing right now. So I said, because the devil tricked me the way that he tricked you, that's his job. So I read the scriptures in Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 that says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And I read that, and I read that, and I researched it, and I looked it up in the Greek and the Hebrew. And I said, yep, that's it. That's my problem. So if I can detach from money, and I looked it up in the original text, and it means shiny things, buildings, and architecture. It has nothing to do with paper. So I said, okay, I like shiny things. Most people think money in that scripture in 1 Timothy has to do with paper. It doesn't. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, depending on what version of the scriptures that you have, you're going to get different things. Now, we got a problem. Now, I would like for you to do your own research, because different scriptures say different things in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 9, 10, and 11. It is my prayer that you take some time to do the research the way that I have done the research, and you're going to find that it's not the love of money that is the root of all evil. Now, the scripture says different things to different people, which is the problem. So let's go to like 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, and let's read it. And let's read it in a couple of different versions. So in the New King James, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, and while some have coveted after it, they have erred from the faith, and they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So many years ago, I read that, and I said, yep, that's it. So therefore, I read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I made the adjustment, but I kept sinning. In the American Standard Version, it says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. That's the problem. Let me read it again. In the Amplified Version, it says, for the love of money, that is greedy desire and willingness to do anything for it, is a root of all sorts of evil. And it goes on, for the love of money is the root. So we got some scriptures that says, the love of money is a root. We got some scriptures that says the love of money is the root. Maybe you're not getting it, so let me take it down. Let me break it down for you. So is the love of money, is it the root or is it a root? If it's a root, that means that there's other roots. If it's the root, that means that it is the only root. So depending upon what version of the scriptures that you read, you get a different understanding. So the love of money is a root, and there's other roots. or the love of money is the root, and there ain't no other one. That's the problem. So since I had a love of money, and I did or experienced in my life exactly what the Bible says, you will be pierced through with many sorrows. And I've lived that life. I can look back over my life, and I got a plethora of things that state that. That the love of money is the root. It is not a root, it is the root. But Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19 says this: money answers all things. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. So hold up. Is money evil, or does money answer all things? It's interesting because people tell me all the time, well, Brother Will, the Bible is a book of contradictions. No, it's not. Let me break it down for you. Because see, for many years, I thought the love of money. So I took on a poverty mindset so I could be a spiritual person. Many of you today are unconsciously playing small so you can be closer to God. That dog don't hunt. Now, I made the same mistake. The devil had me caught up in all of this shizness too. And because I had a shame of poverty, because I came from poverty, that kept me in poverty. Let me make sure you understand. See, the devil is way smarter. He's the most cunning. I don't give a damn how smart you think you are. He's way smarter. You playing checkers. He playing chess. He's five moves ahead of anything that you can think. So Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19 says this, the New International Version: a feast is made for laughter. Wine makes life merry. And money is the answer for everything. Now let me read Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19 again, before you take your vow of poverty like I did. And I was talking with one of my client's sister, we were talking about poets. And I was explaining to her how her vibe is poetic. Poets are interesting. They're like homeless people. It's crazy. Poets are the most creative, the most intellectually compelling, the most articulate, the most energetic. Poets are just eccentric people. They're just weird. But it's a good weird. They just draw people to them. But all poets I know are poor because they don't know how to monetize their gift. That's your problem too. Because when I talk to poets, they all tell me the same thing. Now, when I had a coffee shop, I had 20 poets. They all came together, and it was crazy because they was all afraid to talk to me. And they all came to me, and they say, Brother Will, we appreciate you providing this venue for us, because I had the coffee shop. I was paying the rent. It was my building, and I let them come in and perform on my open mic and spoken word for free. And then I split the money with them, and they came in and said, we feel that you're making money off of us. And we don't like it because you're taking the videos. Now, you can go to my YouTube page right now, youtube.com/masterteacher33, and there's over 100 videos of different poets. And I posted them videos. I didn't get paid a dime. In fact, I lost money because I was the one recording it. I was the one downloading it. I was the one uploading it on the YouTube. I was the one doing all the work. And these fools have the balls and the nerves to come and tell me that I'm monetizing it off of their efforts, and I could have been doing something to make money. See, poverty mindset states that you always think, you always look, you always see problems, not solutions. The difference between a poor person and a rich person: poor people see the glass half full, rich people see the glass poor people see the glass half empty. Rich people see the glass half full. Pessimist, optimist. But that's not the study. We're not talking about poverty today. We're talking about the root of all evil today. It's not money. See, let me make sure. In the King James, it says this: a feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh one merry. But money answers all things. So money is not your problem. The love of money is not your problem, brother. The love of money, contrary to popular belief, is not the problem. So what is the root? Now, the love of money is a root. The love of money is not the root. It is a root. That's a plethora of roots, but we need to find the root that is causing all your problems in your life. Every problem stems from this root, and it's not money. You see, money is interesting because Paul did not write that money is the root of all evil, even though King James decided to change it and put that in. Go back to the original. Go back to the Septuagint. Go back to the Latin Vulgate. Go back to, again, the Paleo, not Hebrew, the Paleo Hebrew. Look it up for yourself. It is, the love of money is not the root. The love of money is a root. But the love of money, again, has to do with greed. So greed is, again, a root. See, greed is one of the seven deadly sins. So that's not even the problem. What is the problem that causes the seven deadly sins? Do you see how tricky this is? Let me make sure you understand. See, the devil is I give him mad props. See, the devil is just like Mayweather. See, the reason that Mayweather won the fight last night, I didn't even watch the fight. I knew Mayweather was going to win the fight. How did I know Mayweather was going to win the fight? First of all, Mayweather is 49-0. Mayweather reminds me, for you youngsters who never saw Sugar Ray Leonard fight, Mayweather is the modern-day Sugar Ray. Now, Sugar Ray Leonard, nobody liked Sugar Ray Leonard because they said he was a boxer. They said he was a runner. They said he didn't fight. Sugar Ray Leonard, the greatest boxer, I believe, of all times. I've seen, man, Thomas Hitman Hearns. I grew up in the era when that boxing was off the hizzle, full shizzle. You ever seen Aaron the Hawk Pryor fight? Oh, man, you ever seen Ray Boom Boom Mancini? For all you young whippersnappers, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Those were boxers. These cats today, man, Mayweather, I give him mad respect. Do you know that boxing is the art of hitting somebody without being hit? Let me make sure you understand why Mayweather won the fight. Mayweather won the fight because he understands boxing is an art. It's a skill. Boxing has nothing to do with testosterone and ego. That shizness will get you killed. McGregor was all ego. Did you see him walk out on the stage? Did you see any of the preliminary? Mayweather got some ego too, but Mayweather's not stupid. See, the root of all evil, the devil wants you to focus on the morality. He wants you to focus on the effect. He don't want you to focus on the cause. So the root of all evil is not money, contrary to popular belief. Now, money is a, just like the seven deadly sins, there's seven of them, not just one. Just like there's a lot of roots that lead to evil, there's a bunch of roots. But there is one cause of all evil on this planet. One. And we are all making this mistake. See, a root of all kinds of evil. In other words, people like me are willing to do all sorts of evil deeds because we are all controlled by a desire for more. We want more. Enough is never enough. Anybody can relate? Can anybody relate to the sound of my voice? Enough is never enough. See, I thought that was it. Brother Rome, I thought it was it, brother. I thought I had mastered this. I mean, y'all don't understand. I was happy. I like, man, I figured it out. Brother CJ, I thought I had figured it out, brother. I thought I had figured it out until this last go round. And I got my lunch ordered. See, y'all don't know, y'all don't understand. See, like when the devil show up in my life, yeah. Let me just put it to you that way. Whatever your wildest dream is, the devil handed that to me on a silver platter. Like Jesus was taken up on the mountaintop, and the devil said, "All you got to do is bow down, homie. Bow down, and I'll give you all this." Man, I was on both knees before he could finish the sentence. Bow down, I was on my knees. Give me the keys, homie. That's what just happened to me. This last year, y'all don't understand. I've been telling y'all a little bit. If I've been talking in circles. And if you've been listening to me, you know that I got my lunch ordered. And I was like, I thought I was invincible. Jay Money, I thought I was invincible, homie. I was saying there's no way. I'm Master Teacher 33. I got a relationship with God, man. Me and God walk in the cool of the day. We talk face to face, mano y mano, man. There was no way I could get tripped up. I thought I had this shizness nailed down. That's why I started, and that's why I produced the Life Optimization Course, because I wanted to wait before I offered a ultimate system until I had figured out all of this shit from top to bottom. And I thought I had figured it out. So I started doing my Life Optimization Course, and I said that I wanted to find the negative habit pattern, the core, the imprint in my DNA, cellular level, not this bullshitness on the surface that all of the modern day psychology and sociology deal with. I wasn't interested with that, man. I know because I watched my mama allow some lady to beat us with a pipe. And I knew when I looked in her eyes that she wasn't there. So how the hell, what did this person do to gain control and complete mastery over a woman with children that would allow somebody to do that? See, I'm a man and I got children. I know the devil is a lie. Nobody doing nothing to my kids. They got to walk through me first. So I knew something was off, but I couldn't find the root. I could find the effects, but I couldn't find the root because I thought it was money. And I know that my mother was dirt poor. So I knew my mother was not doing what she was doing because of money. Because, man, we didn't have no running water. We had no electricity. And she still was following this lady around, letting this lady abuse us. It couldn't have been for money. So I grew up. I got my own family, man. I went out. I remember the first car show I went to out of San Diego, California. As soon as I saw that, I remember riding around with Nick and Sandy in a pearl white Rolls Royce convertible, driving through La Jolla and Cardiff by the Sea, Lemon Grove, Santee. Look those cities up, man. Look at the income in those neighborhoods. 21 years old, riding around in a damn convertible Bentley. I was sold, brother. First time I walked, I got onto Dexter Yeager's freaking converted pimped out bus. It was a house on wheels. And I said, I want one of those. From that day until August the 4th, I've been chasing the white rabbit. Mammon and money. That's been my God. I don't know what you all been doing, but I've been chasing. Me and Mammon, we've been hanging out. But see, I kept him in the down. I kept him in the DL, bro. I didn't want to tell nobody until August the 4th. And when I got rid of him, I said, okay, man, I'm good now. I still kept failing. So that's when I knew that's not it. Something deeper. What's deeper than that, man? What's deeper than mammon? What is deeper than greed? Greed drives us all. We all want more. Enough is never enough. We're all driven. We all are driven by money. We all are driven by the seven deadly sins, but there's something else. See, money is evil, but it is a evil. It is not the evil. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 11, Psalms 112, verse 3. Psalms 112, verse 3, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. So God has wealth and riches in his house. So these faith preachers and these, you know, faith movement and the name it, claim it movement and all of the, you know, Joel Osteen's of the world, that, you know, all of these money dudes, they, you know, they're not too far off. Money answers everything, according to Ecclesiastes 10, verse 19. So money is not your problem. Now, you can overdo it and you're going to pierce yourself with many sorrows. That's true. But it's not the evil. It is a evil. Money is not the evil. Money is a evil. Just one of a plethora. So you don't have to take no vow of poverty, brother. You ain't got to take a vow of poverty. You need to put it in its proper place. Wealth and riches are in the house of God. And righteousness. So if you got your right standing and you got money, you good. You ain't got to take no vow of poverty. Don't let nobody say you got a wolf ticket. James chapter 1, verse 17 goes even further. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Now, I'm getting ready to do the show on how to become a light being so that you need to be, so that way you are the son and the daughter of the Father of light that it talks about in James chapter 1, verse 17. Today is the last day to sign up for that series to get in at $49. After today, the cost is $99. Please go to the website, masterteacher33.com, click on the link that says donation, make that $49 donation so that way you can evolve into a light being. There's some stuff that is coming down the pipe, man. I'm going to tell you guys in the series. I saw a video that Sister Stacy sent me by this Native American lady who was talking about star people and some of the stuff that I've been trying to say without saying, that you guys need to understand what's happening. Donald Trump is the last Trump. At the last sound, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall arise. So if the neutrinos are not doing to you what they're doing to me, that means you're not arising. And I need to make sure that you put yourself mentally in the right frame of mind so that way what is going on in the world today, all the race issues that's getting ready to start happening, and that's already happening, all of, again, the carbon and the melanin issues, all of the fire issues, all the jinns and the genies, you're going to see a lot of jinns and a lot of genies. You're not going to see them physically. You're going to see them mentally, spiritually. You're going to see a lot of people on fire, passionate about doing stuff. You're going to see a lot of genies, jinns, geniuses. Do you know what Donald Trump's son IQ is? Donald Trump's little son, 12-year-old Baron or whatever his name is. Have you seen him? Watch Donald Trump's son. What about the royals over in Great Britain? Not the one that everybody's talking about, the redhead dude, Harry, Prince Harry. Watch him come on the scene. Pimp the game. Y'all better wake up, man. This stuff is serious. Now, it doesn't affect you. This is good news for you. What's so good about it, brother? Because you're a light being. You oscillate and vibrate on a higher level. So your job is to, again, put yourself in a position to under, over, and understand the cause of all evil. So you need to be on that series that I'm getting ready to do on how to evolve into a light being. Light is love. Love is light. So you need to know how to do it because the devil is doing this to keep you from evolving. What is he doing? The last three shows I've done, that's what the devil is doing to you. He's making sure you got the Christ conflict. He's making sure that I just saw the movie Re-Memory. If you guys have not seen that movie, you should watch it. It verifies everything that I'm saying. Again, everything I say is inside the movies. Because, again, they hide it in plain sight. So the devil is using your memories against you to keep you trapped in this unconscious program. My job is to free you by exposing you to the light. The entrance of thy word gives light. What does that mean? Now, remember, we just read in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, which with whom there is no variation or shadow. The word shadow means skion. The word skion means skinos. That means that he doesn't change. And so we can go all the way back to the Old Testament. Abraham was the richest man of his time, according to Genesis chapter 13, verse 2. Now, Abraham was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold, more so than any man on the planet. Job was the richest man during his time. Solomon was the richest man during his time. In the book of Kings, 1 Kings 10, 23 talks about all of the book of Kings talks about all of the kings. King David, very wealthy. So money is not the problem. So it is not the love of money that everybody says that is the root of all evil. Okay, Brother Will, we got you, brother. So if it's not money, brothers and sisters, in the book of Matthew, chapter 23, it says this. Seven or eight times, it says, woe unto you scribes and you Pharisees. You yourself cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And you prevent other people from entering into the kingdom of God. So Matthew 23 is the key to the evil. Matthew 23. Now, I did the show already, and hopefully you guys listened to it. The tone in your voice is your heart. The tone, God says he's not writing his laws on tablets of stone any longer. He's written his laws in the hearts and in the minds of his people. So it has to do with the tone. You got the wrong tone. Okay, what does that mean, Brother Will? Proverbs 22:6 says this. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he or she should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So if we can do something, if we can train, see, it has to do with what the Bible says in the book of Hosea. And this is the smoking gun. This is the cause. This is the root. It is not a root. All your problems stem from this. And the Bible says it very succinctly, but we read it and then we go looking because it's too simple. The Bible says in the book of Hosea, and it talks about that my people perish. And it says why they perish. And it's interesting because we all know that scripture by heart, and we've read it 1,000 times. Then it says that my people perish for what? Can anybody tell me why the people perish? For a lack of knowledge. Now, I need you to understand something that I thank God for. That's the only reason I'm still alive today. My people perish. My people are destroyed. My people suffer. My people do a lot of things because this lack of knowledge. Now, many people say a lot of different things about that scripture. Let me make sure that you understand the depth of the statement of Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. I'm paraphrasing. You definitely want to look it up for yourself. Everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, you all have been led astray by the lust of your own flesh. You all have been led astray by the pride of life. You all have been led astray by the cares of this world. But all of those three things, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the cares of this world, money, the seven deadly sins, gluttony, you know, all of those stuff, all of the sins, they all stem from, they all have one root. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt not be a priest, that means representative to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, we need to break it down so that way you understand the cause, the root. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Knowledge is gnosis. Gnosis is the ability to understand, overstand, and understand. Even what I'm saying right now, if you don't under, over, and understand it, you cannot inscribe it. Remember, your choice will not arrive if the tone is not inscribed. The tone in your voice determines the speed of your choice. That means your destiny is not going to arrive if you ain't got the tone, if you ain't got dunamis power. What does that mean? That means you got to have understanding, overstanding, and understanding. That means you got to understand the etymology. That's why I'm an etymologist. That means that you got to be able to break down the definitions of the words that you use. What does that mean, though? See, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says under the sun 29 times. Let me say that again. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about there is nothing new under the sun 29 times. Let me say that again. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that there is nothing new under the sun 29 times. So whatever you're going through, it ain't new. Everybody that went through the same shiznits, but we're not learning from it. Now, I went through first marriage, left 25 times, 25-year relationship. Second marriage, I've already packed my shit up and left 8 times already in a 9-year relationship. So I don't know about you, that constitutes as a problem. Anybody disagree? I didn't think so. So the problem is obviously not with the women that I date or marry. The problem is not me. So I've had 68 jobs. So after 68 times, I would think that the problem is not with the jobs that I've had. I would think that the problem is with me. So if I know that the problem is with me, so I need to solve the problem. So like me, you got a problem. The fact that you got a problem is the indication that you're suffering from what the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes called Sophia, or wisdom. So the scripture talks about the fact that now money is a tool, like a hammer. It's not evil, it's not good, it's how you use it. So there are things inside the Bible that are very useful, and we're not using them for their usefulness or for their wisdom. So everything in the Bible is a book of wise sayings. It's a book of wisdom. So in the Bible, it talks about and it gives us wisdom. That's why the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 29 times, nothing new. So the Bible is telling us, hey, dude, read this, and it'll tell you what to do, because other people did the same shit you did. So you don't want to keep repeating the same mistake over and over again, Brother Will. So the Bible says in Proverbs 10:15, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. So a rich man's wealth is like a strong city, but the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So poverty leads to destruction. See, I've been driven by poverty. I have not been led by wealth. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. See, I've been driven by my past, controlled, manipulated. Wealth, money is actually a blessing from God. If you got money, man, that's a great thing. It has nothing to do. It is loving money, which is, again, loving greed and not being content. That's a snare. That's a temptation. That is a root. That is not the root. What is the root? The inability to understand what you read. Reading shizness without understanding it. And so I need you to understand, because we all have this problem in some area of our life. Now, wealth, I'm doing pretty good. Health, outstanding. Wisdom, off the chain. But relationships, as I've said on many shows, if you got my book and you're part of the Life Optimization Team, read the book that I sent you called Eagles Club. I wrote that 20 years ago, and read my mission statement. You will find this. I'm paraphrasing, but you want to look it up for yourself. Let me show you how I created my current problem. Not because of money, because of lack of understanding. So I wrote down as my mission statement. And if you read it, you will find everything in that book is scriptural. Everything, my dream statement, my mission statement, my operating statement, everything that I did, because at that time, I didn't trust my own mind, so I wanted to put something that I knew was eternal. So everything that I did was based upon what I call leverage. So I took love and I regurgitated it into something that I could express, expose, and expand. And so my marketing statement is based upon leverage, which is love. So leverage gives me the coverage. That was my mindset. So I wrote down 3 John 1:2. I memorized this scripture a long time ago. You might want to look it up. 3 John 1:2 goes something like this. Brethren, I wish above all things that you prosper, number one. Being health, number two. Even as your soul prospers, number three. So I wrote that down 20 years ago. And let me tell you, as I've been saying, as I talked about, that is why you must, if you really are serious, if you are my friend, I like the part in Tombstone when Doc Holliday was dying. He told Wilder, if you are my friend, If you was ever my friend, you would leave now. Because Holiday did not want to see, he didn't want his friend to see him die the way that, see him dying like that. So with the same tenacity, I'm asking you, if you are my friend, if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you say you are my friend, you're going to go back, if you're my friend, and listen to, even if you listen to it already, listen to the series, the three-part series I did on intonation. If you say you're my friend. If you're not my friend, you ain't got to listen to it. But if you say that you are my friend, if you believe that me and you, if you've ever had any respect for me, if you ever believed anything that I said, you would go back and you're listening to that, the series that I just did on intonation. Because I put stuff in there and I told you what is taught in all of the secret societies in those last three shows. If you are my friend. Because if you are serious about becoming a light being, if you're serious about moving forward, if you're serious about not repeating the same shit over and over again, if you're serious about getting out of your control loop, you got to put the tone in your voice. You got to put the frequency in your heart, man. It's your heart chakra that releases 100 times more electricity and magnetism than your brain. And you're not in love. You're with somebody that you don't love. You're in a job. You're in a place. And it's not that you're supposed to leave the person. You're supposed to find love in the person, in the place, and in the thing. Stop running, Brother Will. See worth and value. Bloom where you plant it. Now, what does that mean? If you say you're my friend. If you say you are my friend, you will have wisdom. See, wealth, money, health, I wrote that down. My wife I have right now, before I met her, 3 years before I met her, as I've said on a plethora of shows, I wrote it down on a freaking piece of paper because I read her back or two, too. That says, take the vision, write it down, make it plain, so that those that read it can run. And I told you guys some stuff in the last three shows that I should not have told you. Because if you listen to those three shows about intonation, you're going to understand the difference between concrete and abstract that we talked about in that series. You're going to understand the difference between block and static, or what they call, or what we call, again, chronological. And I told you that, again, every secret society teaches those three steps. That's how they bring stuff from the invisible realm into the visible realm. And I shared my heart with you, man. I poured out my heart. So if you are my friend, you're going to listen to those three. It's only 3 hours of your life, man. 3 hours. On your way to work, just, you know, go to the Blog Talk, man, put it in. If you don't have it and you can't get the Blog Talk, email me, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. I'm going to send it to you again. Why? That's wisdom. There is nothing new under the sun. The only reason you're not moving forward is because, number one, you don't think concretely. You think abstractly. If I sit there and I ask you right now, if I put you in, I say, hey, what are you going to be? Where are you going to be at 1 year from now? Well, brother, well, I want to start my own business. That's too abstract, man. That's too vague. Concrete. Number two, you think the way a reality show or a play is made. You think block. You think act one, act two, act three. Or you think in chapters. There's 10 chapters in a book. So you're thinking about chapter one, chapter two. But a chapter is made up of what? Paragraphs. Paragraphs are made up of what? Sentences. Sentences are made up of what? Words. Words are made up of what, brother? Words are made up of what, sister? Letters. And letters are made up of what? Yeah, letters are made up of something too. Letters are made up of intent. So if you cannot chronologically, concretely, and then individually, because you are an individual expression of God. God is in you. He's oscillating and he's vibrating as you, and he wants to manifest himself through you. But without this knowledge, you will fail, just like me. That is the root of all evil. The root of all evil is a lack of knowledge. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with the seven deadly sins. Those are all the effects of not having knowledge. People are gluttons because they don't understand that overeating does this. If they really understood, they wouldn't overeat. They wouldn't overeat. But because they have a lack of knowledge of overeating, they have a lack like me. If I really knew what adultery does, I wouldn't do it. Neither would anybody else. If you really knew what you do and how and the damage that it caused, you wouldn't do it. So your job is to get understanding, get knowledge. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. No devils, no demons, no witchcraft, no money. Knowledge. It is they have taken away the key of knowledge. Knowledge is the root of all evil, brother. A lack of it. You can have all the money you want, but if you ain't got no knowledge, you're going to lose your money. I was about to say something else. So, Brother Will, I don't understand, brother. I was with you, dog, until you started talking about this knowledge stuff. I know a lot of people that got a lot of knowledge, and they evil as hell. That's how you know they ain't got the right knowledge. Now, what knowledge am I talking about? Am I talking about the knowledge of good and evil? That dog don't hunt. Jesus came that you may have life, and life more abundantly. I am talking about the knowledge of eternal life, not the knowledge of good and evil. There's a bunch of streams of knowledge, and this is what gets everybody. So you may be studying knowledge, but I'm talking about gnosis. Now, gnosis is different from knowledge. See, the Gnostics, why is there no Gnostic text inside the Bible? Can somebody please explain that to me? Now, I don't want you to be a Gnostic, but I need you to understand Gnosticism. Whether you are a Gnostic or not is irrelevant. But you have to understand that there is a pre-Christian doctrine prior to religion. That's why I told you that everything I do is pre-Constantine. Everything I do is before Abraham, father, left Ur. So before God told Abraham to get up out of Chim and go to the promised land, what happened? What existed before that? Gnostics. Now, the Gnostics, they was from a different, camp. The Gnostics, they understood that the universe was ruled by a lesser deity called the Demiurge. And they believed that Yahushua Christ was a representative of the entity, if you want to use that term, that existed before the demonic urge. The word demiurge means demonic urge. That means a selfish act. That means an aborted fetus. That's what it says. That's what it calls it in the original text. So Gnostic, the word Gnosticism means one having knowledge. Come on, man. Come on, man. Let me say that again. Now, I don't want you to be a Gnostic. I'm not a Gnostic. I don't want you to go out and study Gnosticism. But what I want you to be is I want you to be all-knowing right now, today. Now, this is how you be all-knowing. Now, right? I'm all-knowing. Now, everything I've ever done wrong in my entire life, at the time I did it, I knew it was wrong. I did it anyway because, number one, the lust of the flesh. Number two, the pride of life. Number three, the cares of this world. Me, number three. See, my care is weaponized. Everything I did and do is because I care. Whether I care about myself or I did a lot of shizness wrong because I cared about, as you guys know, I committed a federal crime many, many years ago. Because I promised my daughter that I was going to buy her a new car for her graduation present. So I stole some money from a bank and went out and bought my daughter a new car. Now, It was my bank, so to speak. But I was financed by investors. I had my own insurance company. And the investors that gave me the money to run the insurance company and pay all my employees, I kept it. I didn't pay no bills. Now, I had the intent to make it up and put it back into the company's funds before they knew it was gone, but I didn't. And they knew I took the money. And so they wanted to file charges. Thankfully, the owner, investors decided, hey, we're just going to take over the company, fire this short Negro, and just count up as a loss. In other words, they just dropped the charges. Now, as I told you guys before, every fight I got in, and I've been in a lot of fights. Ooh, man, I've been in a lot of fights. Damn, I've been in a lot of fights. Every fight I've been in, I was taking up for somebody else. I've never been in a physical fight that I've instigated. Never. Every problem that I have is because I care too much. Dr. Span, are you listening? Every problem that I have is because caring. Not the pride of life, but the cares of this world. The enemy uses your gift against you, not your weakness. So what is your gift, brother? Are you very intellectual? Guess what he's going to have you doing? You're going to become so intellectual, you're going to become stupid. You're going to isolate yourself. You're going to go out and you're going to become freaking like my boy. Have you seen the Howard Hughes story? One of the most brilliant minds. This dude was pissing in a bottle, locked up in a room. The dude went crazy. He was so smart, he was stupid. Intellectual. So what's your gift, brother? What's your life path? Oh, you're five? Guess what you're going to be doing? You're going to be out there freaking wrapped in a sheet, talking about you want everybody to be free and singing Kumbaya. We're going to see you on freaking CNN out there hugging some trees somewhere, talking about you're going to save the whales. The devil going to use your gift against you. What if you're a three like me? You're going to create so much stuff that you're going to lose track of what the hell you created. You know how many books I've got? I got so many damn books I can't even much remember what I wrote in so many books. The devil uses your gift. Let's say you're a four. Man, you working like a Hebrew slave. You ain't got time for nothing and nobody else because you're a worker, driven. What about you a one? You're a tyrant. You got the Napoleon complex. What about you an eight? Oh, man, you're walking around here trying to freaking figure out the solution to everything. All you see is patterns because patterns are power. So eight, you walk around, you're trying to put everybody in your pattern. If they don't fit in your pattern, I can't hang out with you, dog. If you don't dress like me, if you don't walk like me, you don't talk like me, you're inferior to me. I'm superior. If you're a nine, oh, man. You walk around here thinking you God's gift to the planet because you got royalty in your blood. Don't be a nine and have AB blood. You might as well kiss the baby goodbye. You can't associate her with us peasants. So the devil uses your gift against you. That's the root of your evil. Your gift. So when I figured out that, oh, hold up, time out. I got a wife and I got two kids. Then when I married her, they became my kids. But I'm so busy caring about everybody and everything else that I see no worth and no value in my own wife. Walk past her every day. Kiss her on the forehead and get on the computer. Well, babe, do you have time to do this? No, I ain't got time, man. I got a show to do. Well, babe, you know I'm writing a book. Well, babe, do you think we can do it? No, I ain't got time. So for 9 years, I walked right past the solution that I wrote. I begged and cried and pleaded, wrote it down on a piece of paper. Then God sent it into my life, and what do I do with it? I pissed on it. Man, I am really disappointed in myself right now. I want y'all to really hear my voice. I asked my wife not to listen to today's show. And hopefully she took my advice. Because I need to say something. This ain't nothing. I remember, I wrote down 20 years ago, man. Jay Money, you listening to me, brother? I wrote this down on a piece of paper 20 years ago. Wealth, health, wisdom. Where the hell is relationships at? I didn't write it down, man. It's not in the book. I still got the book. If you're part of the Life Optimization Team, you got the book. I sent it to you. Look in there and see, do you see anything in there that I wrote down about relationships? Man, you better be damn careful what you write down and what you ask for, because you're going to get exactly that and only that. What I said in the last three shows is what every member and every secret, every governor, Donald Trump know that you don't. That's why he's Donald Trump. That's why Mark Cuban is Mark Cuban. They know this shiznits. I learned it the hard way. I learned it by failure. They was taught it. They was taught the right way to do it. When you think abstract, you get abstract. So if you think in big picture and you think in very vaguely, your lack of understanding of universal law is the root of all of your problems. That is why I started the Life Optimization course, because I'm living it. Not only did I say I want to identify the negative habit pattern in my life, I want to help you identify yours. And God told me, boy, you can't leave nowhere. You can't leave nobody where you ain't been yourself. So guess what? You got to get rid of yours. You see, I wasn't ready for that, Brother Rome. I thought I was Master Teacher 33, man. I wanted to help you guys. I didn't really want to. I liked my pet demon. Y'all remember me telling that? I still keep my little demons around. Y'all thought I was playing? How did King Solomon build the temple? With demons. They did the work. What does that mean? That means seeing King Solomon had mental dispositions he didn't want to let go. Why? They served him. Now, I've been saying for years, I got bipolar disorder, arrested development disorder, a little touch of ADD, maybe a little, you know, sprinkling of schizophrenia. Now, I know how to get rid of all of those. Why haven't I gotten rid of them? They my pet demons. Do you know what it is to be bipolar? I don't know if you know. When I'm in my zone, when I'm in my high highs, I'm invincible. I like that feeling, Brother Rome. I purposely kept it around. I could have went and got some medication, or I could have did what God told me to do, but I didn't, because I kept that disposition around and made it work for me. That's why I can stay up for 3 days straight. That's why I can quit anything cold turkey. That's why I can walk past you in the mall and look at you and look like you like you're dead. I can cut you off at any time I want, because I can departmentalize my emotions where nothing gets in and nothing gets out. Unfortunately, God can't get in either. That's the root of all evil. The root of all evil is thinking that you're smarter than God. The root of all evil is taking the principles of God and personalizing them and using them for your own success. The root of all evil is taking your knowledge and freaking using it for selfish gain. That's the root of all evil. The root of all evil is not money. The root of all evil is having understanding and not walking in wisdom. See, people tell me all the time, well, Brother Will, you know, my wife, she honestly thinks, like, I don't know how to have a good relationship. Now, I do relationship counseling. It's really interesting. And so I asked my wife a question that I'm going to ask you. This applies to everything, and let's bring this message to a close. In the book of Hosea, it succinctly states that God says, or the writer of the book of Hosea says, that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. It specifically says, again, my people, and then that implies that not all people are his people. Now, that's another study for another time. Now, we've talked about organic portals. We talk about soulless entities. We talk about, again, Nephilim, all this stuff. Everybody that's a human, again, it don't have spirits. We'll put it that way. But let's just assume that everybody listening to the sound of my voice, if you're still listening to the show thus far, you're definitely not an OOP, because OPs can't listen to this because it sounds squeaky to them. It almost like hurts their ears, and they have to disconnect. So if you're still here, you definitely got a soul. So we know that you're his people. So it says my people, not the other sheep, my people. And then it says that they are destroyed. So let's end with a clear understanding, so that way nobody is confused. So the word destroyed is the word destroyed. Now this is how you know something's off, Brother Will. Now the word destroyed comes from the word destroy, which means to put an end to the existence of something. Now, the word destroyed, now remember, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, or my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Now, the word destroyed, it means I'm going to reduce something to a useful or useless state by fragmenting it. Destroyed. In other words, it means I'm going to dissolve it. I'm gonna kill it. I'm gonna do it by departmentalizing it. It means, again, fragment it. It means to reduce something to a useless state over a period of time by fragmentation. It means to demolish. It means to make it useless. It means that it's after you come through it. Yeah, it's just not the same. It's no good. This, again, is what happens if, again, my people are destroyed. How? By a lack of knowledge. So if you don't have knowledge, you will see this in your life. You will see that where you go, you produce a destroy or destruction. I'm here to give instruction. I'm a teacher. The negative or the opposite of instruction is destruction. So I can always tell when I'm in the flesh, if I do a message that doesn't result in instruction, it will cause destruction. When I'm in a relationship, I just look behind me, and what do I see? The word instruction, again, means to build up. Destruction means to tear down. So if I'm looking at your life, and I don't see your life building up, then I know that I am in a destructive state. And every day, all day, I look because I want to make sure that I am rendering you useful instead of useless. Instruction, useful. Destruction, useless. So the root of all evil is, how do you live your life, Brother Rome? How do you live your life, Brother Jasper? How do you live your life, Sister Arlene? How do you live your life, Sister Ellen? How do you live your life? Is your life useful or is it useless? That is the difference between knowing whether you are oscillating or vibrating in truth or you're oscillating and vibrating in a lie. If you are in something and you're doing something and you don't leave it in a useful state, you cause it to become fragmented. You render it injured beyond repair or renewal, destroyed. Brothers and sisters, people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Means reduced. Now, I've said this on many, many shows. For me, the word knowledge has nothing to do with the gathering of facts. The word knowledge means know the edge. Know the ledge. Look at the word knowledge. The word knowledge is K-N-O-W. Now, English is a language that is designed to get you trapped. Because why is the letter K put on the word knowledge? Can somebody please tell me, why is there a K in the word K-N-O-W-L-E-D-G-E? Why is there a K in the word knowledge? That is put there by Lucifer. Silent letters that don't mean nothing. Like the word letter J, why does it make an H sound? Why is the word pharmacy, why does it have a P-H? Because the phonicians, the definitions, that is Babylon. See, the word knowledge doesn't mean know the edge, or know means to understand the ledge, which means how far to go. The word knowledge really means know edge. People perish because there is no edge, no rules, no boundaries, no regulation. The word knowledge, the K is silent. Get rid of it. It doesn't mean anything. It's just like the word evolve. Why does the word evolve, spelled E-V-O-L-V-E, E-V-O-L-V-E. Then you turn it around, we have the word, if you drop the V-E, you have the word L-O-V-E, which is the word love, if you drop the silent letters. So the word knowledge is the word know, N-O, and the word ledge, L-E-D-G-E, no ledge, or ledge, no, means that you have no ledge. Now, the word ledge is an interesting word. L-E-D-G, ledge. That means shelf-like, a wall. It means edge. So it means a shelf. That's where you stand. Now, the Bible says, stand, and having done all, stand. The word of God is given to you for you to stand on. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Means you have no, you ain't got nothing to stand on. You ain't got no shelf. You have no standard. Now, the word standard means standard or standard. Standard means to stand. So I have a book, 400-page book, that talks about the standard, that lists the 10 omnis. That's knowledge. You perish when you have nothing to stand on, meaning you ain't got no foundation, meaning you don't got those three things that I talked about the last 3 days. One, you don't have, you're not diligent. You don't have purpose. You ain't got nothing that's concrete. You cannot concretely make a statement about what you believe. You cannot chronologically arrange your life, and you're not individually expressing yourself. You're still dependent upon people outside of you to put value inside of you. You still need somebody else to come alongside of you so that way you can feed. Can't feed yourself. You got a need to feed. So you call somebody, please feed me. That means that you're a baby Huey, a baby Christian. You still got milk. You still hooked on the titty. But you got to get on the meat. You got to feed yourself. The word ledge, the word knowledge means that you don't have something to stand on. No standard. It means you have nowhere to lay your head. It means layer. It means edge. It means part. Again, dictionary.com, the origin of the word ledge, it means, comes from the 1300 Middle English word, part of a weapon. What's the weapon? The word of God is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, has the ability to divide spirit, soul, joint, and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You don't have it. You don't have the word of God, Brother Will. I'm talking to myself. no standard. I've got a 400-page book that tells me Gagu, God Almighty Grand Unification Theorem. Freaking wrote the book. Maybe I should go read my own book. The reason I've been perishing, because I have no principles that I stand on and am willing to die for. Pretty skirt walk by. I don't give a damn that I made a commitment to my wife to be faithful. I'm gone. Somebody offered me money. I got a job. So 68 times, Brother Rome, 68 times I left one job to go to another job. Why? Money. Pay me more money. I'm out, homie. No standard. Jay Money, I ain't had no standard, homie. I was chasing money. Money was my God. So the root of all evil is not money. The root of all evil, you ain't got no damn morals. You ain't got nothing to stand on. You are not concretely, you're not diligent. So the first book I ever wrote, Diligence, the Ultimate Secret to Being Rich. Diligence is the ability to make a concrete decision to stand. And having done all, stand. So brothers and sisters, stand. The only reason you have problems in your life, you don't stand for nothing. Draw the line in the sand. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to stand. Stand on purpose. Stand on principles. Stand on your values, whatever they are. Stand. The root of all evil is having no standard. That's the word knowledge means, no ledge. So brothers and sisters, if you don't know what the 10 omni statements are that I have in my book, The Standard, email me today, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. If you're part of the Clarinomics Temple Building Life Optimization Team, you get the book for free. If you don't already have it, just email it to me and email me and say, Doc, I need The Standard, so I can go and send it to you. I think I already sent it, but in case you don't have it, just email me. If you're not a member of the optimization team, email me and I give it to you for half price. Brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. And again, if you are my friend, if you call yourself my friend, please listen to the 3-part series I just did on intonation. Please. It's very important. Brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May His Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because He will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity.
God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the acting, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You